back together again. You and I wrapping up a very busy week, Friday, September the 8th, 2023, on Connecticut Today. I wondered if state officials really care about urban gun violence in cities like Bridgeport. We also heard from former Bridgeport Democratic State Rep Chris Caruso with his weekly update and thoughts as well. So did you notice that story that Chris had there in the top of the hour newscast? Oh, you didn't. Or maybe you did and you only caught half of it. Let me read those details again about that story, because it just proves another point that I always say here, that our outrage, especially when it comes from the office of Governor Ned Lamont, if it becomes comes from the office of William Tong, you know, he of the famous phrase "weapons of war." So I'm going to start calling him William Weapons of War Tong. Whether it comes from his office, whether it comes from the Democrats, the lefty-leaning Democrats in the General Assembly, whether or not it comes from the governor's office, it's the same old tired double standard when it's urban violence, which happens every day in a lot of our cities, and something that may happen even around here locally or nationally if it involves a long gun. And whenever there's anything aimed at legal, law-abiding gun owners, when we pass these idiotic laws over and over and over and over and over again, because it makes the Hartford cocktail party circuit feel so good, we're missing the point. Police say a Bridgeport man is in critical condition following a shooting last night. Police say this happened around 11:45 p.m. on the 1200 block of Park Avenue. Police called to the area on multiple shot spotter alerts. They found a 56-year-old man with a gunshot wound. The man taken to a hospital. The investigation continuing. Police say, and here's the point of this, folks. And again, I'm wondering, and maybe I'm wrong here, and if the governor says something about it that I didn't see, please call me. If William Weapons of War Tong said something about this, let me know, because I've been looking and digging online here, and I haven't seemed to find it. Police say more than 30 rounds were fired during the incident. 30! Did you hear that? Police say more than 30 rounds were fired during the incident on a city street in Bridgeport. 30 rounds. That's not one or two and then somebody goes running. Even if there are a couple of rounds every second, that's 15 or 20 seconds of gunfire in Bridgeport. Now, I know there's probably details that we don't know yet about who did it and the victims and the gunmen or gunwomen at this time. But again, this is, and I will never stop pointing this out, because we have a lot of blowhards in this state who are in high positions that will jump on the littlest report, or on the first reports, I should say, of gun violence in this state and in the cities, and that's okay. But I should say they will jump on the gun violence, but it's quite another delay, is it not, when it happens in cities, and when it's not necessarily perpetrated by a long gun. Oh, that's a handgun thing. That's Bridgeport. That's Hartford. That's New Haven. That's Meriden. That's part of Stamford and Norwalk. No. Don't say anything about that. Can you imagine, God forbid, if 30 shots were fired around a suburban school, mainly attended by white kids? Oh, my God. This would be world news, as it should be. National news. The governor would have been out there today. The lieutenant governor would have been out there today. William Tong would have been out there today. All the Democrats in the General Assembly, they would have been out in force. And they would have said, oh, weapons of war. Weapons of war. Tong would have been out there today. Oh, everybody would have been, oh, the AR-15s. and these assault weapons. We would have been hearing assault weapons this and assault weapons that. Yet, 30 rounds of gunfire in Bridgeport last night. Has the governor's office said anything about this? Did I miss anything here? Have all these anti-gun groups, has anybody weighed in on this one yet? I've been busy trying to prep the show today, but is this just another case of, well, that's in the city, and that's, you know, are all these white suburban progressive anti-gun groups saying, well, that's just what those people do in the city? Oh, I shouldn't say that? Well, what else are they saying? Why shouldn't I think that? That's the attitude a lot of progressives have here in Connecticut. Oh, I know what we're going to do. We're going to pass another law. That's what we had this happen in Bridgeport. So let's pass another law against long guns. When again, stat after stat after stat after statistics after statistics after statistics show you that the vast, 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 vast majority of gun violence is done with handguns, as we see last night. So, hello, where's the governor on this? Oh, I know, they're working on, I'm sure the Democratic leaders will be working to pass more gun laws. Oh, yeah, let's limit the magazine size. Because, again, we all know how criminals are, I'm sure the people that perpetrated this last night, this 30-round shootout, Bridgeport, 1200 block of Park Avenue, 11:45 p.m. last night. I'm sure that they checked to make sure that all the guns they used were legal, right? Yeah. Hey, if we're going to put a cap in somebody's rear 30 times, let's make sure we're not using... I'm sure the gangbangers last night were wondering about the size of the magazine they were using in those guns. Hey, don't bring those clips. Those are illegal. Oh, my God. Folks, I'm sorry. Look, even if you don't agree with me on a lot of this, even if you're on the left side of the political spectrum, which is fine, we invite everybody here, you've got to understand, you've got to believe how embarrassing this is. I mean, it's beyond comedy now. I mean, every 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, every time the General Assembly gets together, oh, let's pass more gun laws. Yeah, that's working really well. Now, again, I understand some of those laws are used to prosecute people, but I thought we were worried about gun violence here. I thought we were supposed to show some sort of an outrage or something, or at least say, hey, we're paying attention to this. But again, I may have missed something. I'm being completely honest with you, but I will, let you know if something happens, something is said from the governor's office or William Tong's office or the majority Democrats in the legislature. Has Bob Duff in Norwalk, has he weighed in on this? I'm wondering. Or is he still there taking verbal shots at Republicans? What about Marty Looney or Matt Ritter? What's up with them? Hey, gentlemen, 30 rounds fired in Bridgeport last night. Now, if these 30 rounds, God forbid, were fired around the school, oh my God, you know who parachuted in on that? Dick Blumenthal. Can you imagine, as horrible as it would be, if 30 rounds of gunfire was unleashed yesterday or early today at or near a school? We can't even allude to that without having chills running up and down our back. But my God, you know as well as I do, Dick Blumenthal would be parachuting in. He wouldn't even want the plane to land. Just drop me here. My parachute is on. Look, there are microphones over there. But oddly enough, folks, nothing but crickets on this so far. And you're getting the crickets because, you know, all the folks, all the anti-gun folks, all the folks who think the NRA is evil and the sports shooters are evil, they know they can't solve this without significantly ratcheting up prosecutorial laws and mandatory minimum sentences. They won't do that. So to make it look like they actually care about gun violence, they'll go after the largely white, suburban, male gun owner. 99.9% of whom are perfectly law-abiding gun owners. Oh, wait, we have to, I have an idea. How big are those clips? Well, they're all legal. Let's make the clips even smaller. Why don't we do that? Yeah, okay, yeah. Let's have a law on the size, the length of the barrel. Let's do that. Oh, and let's make them register even more stuff. Okay. Hey, by the way, did you hear about the thing in Bridgeport? Shh, don't say that. No. Don't ever say that. 30 rounds fired last night, Thursday night, about 11:45 p.m. in the 1200 block of Park Avenue. And so far today, I mean, you know, maybe the investigation's going on. Maybe a lot of people in Hartford. Well, where's the Bridgeport, by the way, where might the Bridgeport General Assembly delegation be on this? I'm just kind of wondering. Because, man, folks, listen, you know where I'm going with this. You know darn well that if this happened in the suburbs, this would be the lead story blasted out on every television station. It'll be the lead story across the mast of every newspaper. It'll be the lead story on all the local hybrid sites, too. And everybody who would be looking to score cheap points would be out there saying, "Say it's the guns." But no, they don't do that because it's a handgun. Largely, I'm guessing here, we don't know, but odds would be they're handguns. And it's happening in Bridgeport. And it's urban violence again. The kind that majority Democrats in this state tend to see. And they go, shh, don't say anything. All right, if it's a Friday, right around this time, it means the week is over. Well, for a lot of people, not everybody. That means happy hour is underway. And like the late, great Jimmy Buffett used to sing, it's happy hour, or it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And what better way to start your happy hour than with former Bridgeport Democratic State Rep. Chris Caruso, who is with us here. And Chris's musings go with a nice double, two fingers of scotch or whatever you have for us. Chris, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Right? Yeah. Good afternoon, Paul.
Yeah, I'm going to make you part of happy hour here. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, probably a Diet Coke with lemon, Paul.
That's me. I drink very rarely. Mr. Caruso, interesting times are upon us as usual. What is on your mind, Chris, today?
Well, I thought first I want to just express my condolences to the family and friends of the young police officer who was killed in Hartford. Really tragic situation and inexcusable, the conduct and the behavior of the man who killed him, you know, by the accident. So I think he should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Mm-hmm. It's tragic to use a young officer like the gentleman who died, and plus he had been on the force for, I believe, 8 years. So I just want to express my condolences to that family and friends of that officer, you know. And to thank officers in general, because without them, there would be no rule of law. So I just want to thank them for their service as well.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, you know, they and I know people, you know, there's discussion about officer discipline. We get that all the time. But, you know, who do you call when stuff like this happens? You know, your neighborhood patrol or, you know, the guy who walks up and down the street? No, there's stuff that he or she can't handle. And that's why we have professional law enforcement folks.
And, you know, Paul, all the people who complain about police brutality and violence by the police officers, I'd like them all to start speaking out what happened here and the passing of a police officer. Mm-hmm. You know, people are easy to criticize, but not quick to compliment and to say good things about this young man who gave his life in the line of duty. And I would love for those people who are always out there criticizing to step up and say, thank you to him and to the families for allowing him to serve us the way he did. So,
yes, sir. Yep.
You know, maybe I'm asking for too much, but nonetheless, I'll ask it anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm. What else?
And the other issue I'd want to talk about is this proposal for the new theater in Bridgeport.
Sure, yep.
You know, I think arts and entertainment, I've been a big advocate since the days in the legislature of arts and entertainment being the economic engine to revitalize cities like Bridgeport. And we've seen it across the country. Pittsburgh, for example, old steel town. It's one of the capitals of entertainment. We've seen in San Antonio. We've seen in Providence. We've seen it in even parts of Camden, for example. So we've seen it, the ability of the power of it. And so I don't know enough about the proposal that's being made, but it shows that there is the opportunity for arts and entertainment to drive economic development for the city. So I'm pleased with that. Just learned today, though, that the three partners in this development are going to be seeking state funds to build these theaters. And that was not told to us in the newspaper or the news accounts. So it's something that, you know, I think we have to look at and see what's being proposed. We also have to figure out what's really going to take place in the theater. I know it's the Fillmore and the history of that, but, you know, what type of acts are they going to have? What is the venue going to be to look at? And most importantly, though, for people who have grown up in the city of Bridgeport and who love the former Palace of Majestic Theaters on Main Street, last year they turned 100 years old on November 4th of last year. And those theaters need to be revitalized as well. You know, Bridgeport at one time had 54 theaters.
That's amazing. Did you say said 54?
54 theaters.
That's amazing.
In downtown alone.
That's amazing.
In downtown alone, Paul, there were four theaters within walking distance. And the last two of the large theaters that remained are the Palace of Majestic. And they refer to as the Poli theaters because Poli was an Italian immigrant who came to this country. He was a sculptor.
Yep.
And then he worked with vaudeville and began to build theaters. And in Connecticut, he built 26 theaters.
Yeah, my parents growing up, Chris, always used to talk about the Lowe's Poli in New Haven.
Yep.
They went to that a lot. Yeah.
And he lived in Guilford. And his flagship was in Bridgeport. It's the largest of all of his theaters. Combined, is close to 7,000 seats in the theaters. And they're just beautiful. They opened in the heyday of vaudeville. Eddie Cantor was the actor at the time, vaudeville actor, that opened the theaters. And they had every imaginable star at that time in front of the theaters opening. And they should be revitalized. If you look at the Palace in Waterbury, that was a Poli theater. And there's one in New London. There's one in Torrington, for example, still operating to this day.
Yeah.
And the important part of the arts and entertainment, right now the bulk of it is in the southern portion of the downtown where the arena is, where the amphitheater, where the ballpark was. But you have the northern tier of the city, which is entering into the city from the highways and so forth, that has to be revitalized too around the arts.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever strategy is, and there needs to be a strategy of how we collectively bring the arts and entertainment to Bridgeport and grow the economy by that. But I, you know, it was interesting to hear the development that was proposed, and we have to go from here, though, to see how that's going to roll out.
Yeah, and Chris, those theaters of that era and the ones that have been redeveloped, the Waterbury Palace, the Schubert in New Haven, the Bushnell in Hartford. My son works on Broadway. He's a production guy on Broadway, so his mom and I get to see shows through his connections at these amazing theaters. These theaters, Chris, are just amazing architectural masterpieces, and
absolutely.
If for nothing else, they should be restored, because you walk into any of these theaters, whether it's on Broadway or here in Connecticut or whatever, and you say, wow, look at this. Look at the opulence and the elegance that the common person back to the 20s, 30s, and 40s was able to get a little bit of a taste of from time to time.
No, you're absolutely right, Paul. And, you know, back in those days, when the theaters opened, Bridgeport was a really blue-collar town. And you see pictures, and people would dress up in their best clothing to go to the theater. That was a special treat. And the way Poli had set it up, there were all glass mirrors throughout the theater. So when you went in, you were part of this bigger experience.
Wow.
And you got to see yourself in the mirror. And then you went to the second floor, and there was this oval-shaped balcony, so you could look down at the people on the next floor. So it was this. There was this experience. We were going to this beautiful theater. The Palace was 3,900 seats.
That's big.
And the Majestic was 2,900 seats. And we did some review of back in 1989, the mayor asked me to chair a Blue Ribbon panel to look at the theaters. And we did that, and we presented a report. And the tapestry of the theaters, the wall hangings and
yeah.
so forth,
yeah.
we traced back to Chicago. And that company is still in business today.
Wow.
So the history of those stages. And don't forget, they were vaudeville houses.
Mm-hmm.
So the stages were not deep. They were very narrow, and they were pine because of tap dancing, hardwood, and so forth.
Yeah.
And they're just tremendous gems. And my fear is, and I'll be frank with people, and that we don't see those theaters torn down.
Yeah.
And Bridgeport has had a history of tearing down historic buildings and we tore down the very last marina, which was P.T. Barnum's last house in Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
We tore down the Tom Thumb house.
Yeah.
We tore down the Topstone cigar factory, which originated in Bridgeport,
yeah.
and the train station. And I fear that if we don't come up with plans for these theaters, they will face the same situation. But I and a lot of people who believe that these theaters need to be revitalized and need to be part of the arts and entertainment objectives in Bridgeport,
yeah.
we're going to fight to make sure those theaters are up and running one day. And don't suggest that both theaters at this time, maybe one of them open.
Sure.
When I did the report back in 89, the proposal was to open one of them,
mm-hmm.
which was the Palace, because it was larger and you could bring touring shows in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about a recording studio, film studio across the street where the old Ocean Sea Grill is. And then we even talked about a high school for the performing arts.
Interesting.
For Bridgeport kids. Yeah. So that was the proposal 30 years ago when I was involved. And others have asked me to get involved again with a report.
There you go.
And we're looking at them. But I want to say to your listeners and to you, Paul, and others that, again, these theaters have to be part of the overall landscape of arts and entertainment for Bridgeport, especially the northern tier of the city as you're entering, you know?
All right, Chris, great stuff. And, yeah, keep us updated on that and have a wonderful weekend, and we'll check with you next week. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Paul. Take care.
All right, there you go. Chris Caruso, former Democratic Bridgeport State Rep, always offers his thoughts as to what's going on every Friday. And, yeah, the old theaters are magnificent. They are, whether it's, again, the Bridgeport Theaters, the Schubert in New Haven, the theaters all around Hartford, the Broadway theaters that I get to be in because my son works there, and you know he lets me and his mom know when we can come in and watch some dress rehearsals or some first runs of the stuff he's working on. And there's just a magnificence and artistry, craftsmanship in those theaters that you don't see anymore. You don't, partly because it's so darn expensive to do that.